of buying time, killing people that's in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass on cocaine, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass up from rape, they burn the kids, no more things, gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Stevens, this is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. Today is December the 22nd. We're just about to that day, and weather's actually quite nice out right now, a little bit above zero, and supposed to be up to 8 above here on Boxing Day, which is incredible. Global warming, of course, but then of course not, because if you go back and you look at the weather, it says, as soon as it pops up here, it says here that in 1949, this is just shortly after the UN got established, something should never have been established, we should have put a stick in their eye when we had the chance. And we got the long road ahead of us to put them back in their place, hopefully behind bars, we don't bother anybody anymore, but way back in 1949, today's weather was 12.2 degrees above zero. So take your global warming, your climate change, and shove it where the sun don't shine. Because it ain't real, never was real, never will be real. And we're being pounded on by everybody. Go to any union. Well, that is really weird. Now my mic is super quiet. Tomorrow, I guess I have to go and get me a new headset. My apologies. Let me see if I can set the mic a little louder. It's supposed to be on automatic last time I checked. Audio settings says I'm good here. So it's got to be this headset. I think it's about wore out. The fat man, I don't have a chimney, so I guess I can't wait for him. So I guess tomorrow I'll have to go and let me see if I can reset this, but I can't. See if I can't go and get a new headset here, start the new year with. I apologize if the volume is bad on this thing. I'll try to speak up a little bit. Because there's really not much I can do about it. Anyways, global warming ain't real, and Everybody from your teachers, preachers, union leaders, politicians, the media, they've been all lying to you since, well, long before you were born. And you've got to come to terms with that. Here's a little story that happened to me. It didn't exactly happen to me. I tried to make it happen to me, but they wouldn't bite. We had our census this year. I told the lady that came here I had no intentions of filling out a census. And they told me that I would be arrested and thrown in jail if I didn't fill it out. And so I said, well, I would suggest at that this point that you get on the horn, get on the telephone, and call whoever it is you call to have me arrested for not filling out the census, and we'll go from there. Well, of course, they didn't arrest me, they didn't call the police, but a lady did actually get arrested for refusing to fill out the 2011 census. Now, this is the kicker. Audrey is an activist of some sort, was arrested for refusing to fill out the 2011 census, was laid to rest today. I think that was, she died on December the 1st, was charged and eventually acquitted with violating the Statistics Act when she refused to fill out the census. An activist who made headlines when she was criminally charged for refusing to fill out the census 3 years ago, remembered for her spirit and tenacity at a funeral service in Toronto today. Family members say Audrey died on December the 1st. She was 92 years old. And this is something I really want to put out to the people. I talk to a lot of older people, younger people. But, you know, when I talk to some of the older people, those, well, even older than me, and I try to explain a few things to them, and every now and again I'll get one that says, well, you mean we're supposed to do something? Yeah, you're supposed to do something. I don't want anybody being laying on their deathbed thinking about, geez, how many Oprah Winfrey shows did I watch when I could have been doing something positive or along those lines? How many stupid TV shows did I watch when I could have been doing something positive with my time? So here's a lady that died at the age of 92. So she was, how old was she? 92. She was, let's see, 86 thereabouts when she refused to fill out the census. Friends and relatives say Tobes fought for causes large and small and had the ability to rally others to her side. That drawing power came through in full force during her 2013 trial, which saw some 80 friends and supporters, many of them retired, filling a courtroom in downtown Toronto in solidarity. Tobes was charged with violating the Statistics Act when she refused to fill out the 2011 census over its link to Lockheed Martin, a company she reviled. The American aerospace and weapons giant provided optic recognition software to StatsCan that helped analyze and process the census form. She was acquitted, with the presiding judge citing reasonable doubt to her intent at the time of the refusal, though Tobes maintained afterwards she knew exactly what she was doing. That trial was Tobes' last stand, said her friend Kathy Davies, who was among the supporters in court. The first day of the trial, she had a big bag and was rifling through it for something, said Davies, who met Tobes through the St. Cuthbert's Church in Midtown Toronto. She had all her vitamins and medicine. I asked her, what do you need that stuff for? Just in case they put me in jail, she said. The trial knocked the socks off her, Davy said. It was a punch to her, the stress levels she went through. We could see her decline after that. Tobes fell this summer, breaking her left arm, and fell several more times later trying to get in and out of her wheelchair, she said. She died in her sleep in a long-term care facility, said her nephew, Derek. I'm really proud of her for standing up for things she believed in, he said from his house in Hong Kong. Tovis took on many causes throughout her life. Born in 1924, she moved to St. Catharines for a time, but returned to her hometown after 1943 after enrolling in the University of Toronto Trinity College. At her mother's urging, she then enlisted in the Royal Canadian Navy and joined the Women's Royal Canadian Naval Service. According to Alan Rimmer, who recorded Tovis's life story through a series of interviews, she was stationed in Halifax at the end of the Second World War, where she helped crews prepare for fighting at sea through training exercises, he said in his account. When the United States dropped the nuclear bombs on Japan in 1945, something changed in Tovis, her friend said. She worked in numerous factories where she really connected with the working class and eventually joined the Communist Party. Tovis later became a high school teacher and taught in Sault Ste. Marie, Ottawa, and Toronto. She said she later returned to school to become a librarian. She helped organize the first union for library workers in Toronto. But her outrage over the atrocities of war continued to grow, and she was relentless in lobbying for peace. She also embarked on a never-ending battle against nuclear weapons, which led her to join the Veterans Against Nuclear Arms. "We never won that campaign," lamented Phyllis Creighton, or Creighton, another group member and friend of Tovis. "She was one of the people for whom it was not theoretical. She really had a depth of feeling about the agony of nuclear bombing and the moral outrage we should all feel about it. It was though the group, it was through the group that she met Peter Rosenhall, the lawyer who would eventually represent her at the census trial. She was a wonderful role model for any human being. I think to be dedicated to peace and equality and to be so principled about it and at the same time be so affable and pleasant, it was really quite remarkable," Rosenhall said. "We should all aspire to be like that." Now, there's a few problems with the story. The one problem is good. The lady stood up for what she believed in, and she went for it. She didn't back down. She didn't cower in the corner, being afraid of what somebody might think or she might get in trouble. She went for it. Now, why did she join the Communist Party? Well, probably because of the wars. And who started the wars? The same people that started communism. The capitalists. Because the capitalists want to own everything. And so they spiel out this nonsense about equality and peace. Okay? Most people are up for peace, so we'll use the peace card. So she's a little bit confused there. And the fact that this Rosenthal, the lawyer who eventually represented her, knows damn well that the legal system is not law. There's a few problems with the story, but the point is this woman stood up and didn't stand down. So for that, I take my hat off to this lady. A lady I probably wish I would have met, probably would have gotten an argument or have had a pretty heavy discussion about how she'd been deceived. But she did what she did, and you got to give her credit for it. And she told them to take the census and stick it where the sun don't shine. Now, I tried my damnedest to get arrested this year for the census. But regardless of how hard I tried, in the end, the Census Bureau ended up running the other direction because they agreed that they were full of crap. They agreed that they were just agreed that it was full of crap, and they ran away. And so I didn't get arrested there. I've been trying to get a hold of the Human Rights Tribunal. Can't do that. They won't do it to me. They just don't want me out there talking. But that's okay. Got another stupid story where this story really irritates the hell out of me. And if there's any Indigenous people listening to this broadcast, listen up. You're being hosed by your leadership. Your leadership is nothing different than our politicians or the union leaders. They're all up to their ass. They're all tangled up with the globalists at the UN. And they are trying to destroy you even more than you've already been destroyed. This is really a pathetic, pathetic story. This isn't Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, under Indigenous. And it says here that tiny homes may help address housing issues at Opisakawak Cree Nation. Pilot project would build a village of portable, energy-efficient mini homes. A new housing pilot project in development in the Cree Nation, Manitoba, would see tiny, energy-efficient, locally sourced homes built in the community, and it could help address housing issues there, says one of the people leading the project. The initiative, called One House, Many Nations, is being collectively led by Mini Homes of Manitoba, a group of researchers from Manitoba, and Alex Wilson, an organizer with the Idle No More movement. Now, this is a Cree woman who is backstabbing her own people. Why? I don't know. Is she just that stupid? I don't know. Now, the government, the so-called government of Canada, who put these Native people on reserves under so-called treaties, have just bastardized the Native population here in so-called Canada. They genocided their people, meaning they destroyed their society. They stole their children. They beat their children. They brainwashed their children. They destroyed the nation. And to see this lady now, which Idle No More, by the way, can be, and I did trace it. Where did Idle No More come from? Well, Paul Martin was a big promoter, ex-Prime Minister Paul Martin, the guy that says we all must give up some of our sovereignty in order to make the world work, was a big pusher of Idle No More, and says he was working with the Native youth because he cared. He doesn't care. He was trained by Morris Strong, for crying out loud. He flies a foreign flag on his boat, on his shipping fleet. Doesn't pay taxes. And he gives a damn about the Indians on a reserve in Manitoba? I don't think so. So he goes and rubs shoulders probably with someone like this Alex, this woman Alex, who wants to help her Native communities build tiny houses. Now, I had a teacher on my show who's been teaching on Native reserves for decades, and she said it is atrocious, the housing on these reserves. Now, usually the chief lives in a pretty damn nice house. But as you go into the reserve, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. People living in houses with no windows or doors on them. Bloody pathetic. I've been there. I've seen it. And so now this Alex Native woman comes up with this brilliant idea of mini homes for her Native brothers and sisters. And all a mini home really is, a tiny house, is really nothing more than a shed. Throw a toilet and a sink and a bed in it. Kind of like Bubbles from forgot the name of that damn show, Trailer Park Boys. Now, how is it that these lands that are so rich in natural resources that we want people living in tiny homes? So we get to the standard headline here. Get to the standard headline. Or if I didn't get to what I was trying to say there before, the tiny homes or not the tiny homes, but Idle No More can be traced directly to the United Nations. That's where all of this stuff gets percolated at. And then it gets moved out through NGOs and stuff. So Wilson, a University of Saskatchewan professor from the Cree Nation, said she sees the housing project addressing several concerns in her home community. One around housing, the second around environmental sustainability, third around resource extraction and protection of the land, she said. Well, okay, so she's a UN minion. Then the subheading is rethinking housing. The project is looking at rethinking housing on First Nations land, said Jacob Manns, an architecture professor at the University of Minnesota. We're looking at building small houses, 10 feet by 16 feet, somewhere in that range, said Manns. Now, that's the size of the shed that I built out at the cottage to keep a boat motor and some other stuff in, and a beer fridge. And this is not a house. 160 square feet is not a house. I don't care how you cut it, 160 square feet is not a house. But, hey, we have a UN architecture professor from the University of Minnesota. What the hell he's doing in Manitoba is beyond me. But we're looking at building small houses, 10 feet by 16, somewhere in that range, says Manns. Well, Mr. Architecture Professor, I suggest that you go and build yourself a 10 by 16 square foot tiny home and live in it. And see how you enjoy it. This is abuse at the highest level. We have more resources per capita than any place on the frickin' planet. You can walk into the bush here in Canada and places and you ain't coming out the other side for, I don't know, months, years. And they want to build these people who they destroyed 10 by 16 foot houses. And we have a Native woman pushing the agenda. The idea is that you take 3 to 4 of these tiny houses and configure them into something a little bigger. So you get a community of spaces. He has spent the last week with Wilson at the Cree Nation surveying potential locations and consulting with the people and leadership of the community. Now, you know Wilson's getting money in her pocket. You know the architect's getting money in his pocket. You know the chief's getting money in his pocket. And the people are getting shafted. There's no difference what's going on in the reserve than what's going on to the general public. Same crap. Building smaller and smaller houses in tighter and higher density communities, and then building light rail transit systems, it's entrapment, and it is most definitely abuse. The plan says Mars is to have a small village of homes that could enhance cultural conditions, enhance language learning. Those spaces that you produce become learning spaces. They become community kitchens. They become these spaces where communities can gather. One of the unique aspects of the project is that it would look at alternative forms of energy for the homes. We're working on designs that would incorporate solar power so we can get off the grid if possible, says Manns. The mini homes would be made with recycled wooden pallets and incorporate locally sourced building materials. The project would also allow the small homes to be mobile. So you're going to build these people who you've already genocided. You're going to build them some little houses out of recycled wooden pallets. Now, I do know for a fact that if I went to my local building department, of which I avoid like the plague, but if I were to, and I designed a home that I was going to build out of wooden pallets, I think I would have a very, very hard time getting a permit. But hey, that was then, this is now. So I can have myself a little house built out of used, recycled wooden pallets that's mobile. Well, sure, it's so damn small, you can pick it up and put it in the back of your pickup truck. He goes on, if there's some unforeseen environmental event, if there's a change in the family structure or the community structure, you can pull your unit out and put it someplace else, man says. This is a architect professor from Minnesota talking. Now, I've designed a lot of houses and I've designed commercial buildings, and I don't ever recall coming up with the idea of getting me some used pallets and starting to build someone a home. These are not homes. At best, they're cages. But hey, you know, what if you have a nice home on the reserve and, I don't know, the earth burps? And then you got to move. How are you going to move? Your house is too big. If you have a little wee tiny house and it's mobile, you can move it. The native people should be absolutely in a bad mood. They shouldn't be running around with signs going idle no more. Might as well put up a sign, stupid forever. Because if you allow yourselves to get locked into this nonsense, then you're stupid. The native people need to get their act together, just like the non-native people got to get their act together. Now we have a group of researchers are in the beginning stages of development. They would like to start off with one small home to see how it withstands the tough northern Manitoba climate. Mann says, the architecture professor from Minnesota. Obviously, it's incredibly cold in the winter, so that's a huge challenge. Another issue is getting materials up there. It costs a lot of money to ship things, you know. The group hopes the use of locally sourced materials will help offset the cost of shipping and also help create some jobs within the community. I got a good idea. Set up a lumber mill, a small lumber mill, a community lumber mill. Go knock some damn trees down, mill the lumber, get some nails, nail the wood together, get some sheeting, put some sheeting on, insulate the thing, get some heat. Likely a wood stove would be better than shipping in oil. And guess what? You're incredibly warm, incredibly sustainable, and you didn't need a professor. You don't need some idiot from Idle No More who's nothing more than a UN globalist corporate minion. You need to just get to work, people. Everything you need to build your houses is right there. So build your houses. Why the native people keep asking the government to build their houses is beyond me. But then I was up at a reserve and they said they can't do anything without the okay of the government. Well, then you tell the so-called government to stick it where the sun don't shine. You don't got wells, you don't got water, your water's poison. You're not allowed to use your resources. And so now you're into this nonsense. The idea is to create a system of housing that can generate economy in the area, said Manns. Another subheading, an energy sustainable community. Wilson said there is currently no funding in place for the project. We'll eventually be looking for funding, said Wilson. Mainly it's people putting in sweat equity to help build their own homes. Well, who the hell would go about building himself a 160-square-foot home? With the help of Mini Homes of Manitoba, she was involved in organizing a similar project last year that saw one tiny house built in Big River First Nation in Saskatchewan. So all this nonsense has been going on. They managed to build a small, tiny house in Big River First Nation. Well, is it a 160 square foot house? All of these people, professors and organizers and Idle No More leaders and professors, took them a year to build a 160 square foot house in Big River. And you're telling me that you're going to house all the Native people. Time the Native people wake up, stand up, and take control of their futures. And it finishes off, I think it's just bringing together a bunch of people that are really interested in addressing some really critical issues in our community, Wilson said. They hope to start construction on the first mini home in the new year. Now, everybody here is getting a paycheck from the government that's involved in this thing, except the people that need the housing. And so all of this money that's being spent probably is more than sufficient to build the houses that are needed in the community. But no, they siphon off all of that money. This is, I mean, how could this even end? How could a story this stupid end up in the national news? Because the national news is nothing but a minion of the UN globalist corporate agenda. And this is what we end up with. Let's see if we can see what this house looks like. A safe, warm, unique home is on its way to a man on the Big River First Nation in northern Saskatchewan, thanks to a group of Idle No More organizers in the Winnipeg called Mini Homes of Manitoba. We're very proud, said Mini Homes co-owner Anita Munn, fighting back tears. Oh, Jesus, eh? It's been an incredible journey, and we're just glad to see it go. Now, I don't recall crying when I built a house. I don't remember getting all choked up when I designed a house. But these people, hey, this is what they do. They pray on others. Organizers from No More, Idle No More, initially raised more than $15,000 to build the energy-efficient, compact, mobile house, which is constructed in Winnipeg Warehouse over a four-week period starting in December. More than 300 people contributed to the crowdfunding campaign, while volunteers chipped in to provide bedding and other household items. At 16, are you freaking serious? At 16 by 8 feet. Let me repeat that. This house is 16 by 8 feet. It features a kitchen and living area, a bathroom with a composting toilet, and radiant floor heating. It also has a solar power system for electricity and a wood stove for added heating. Now, this is getting bad. This is really getting bad. Apparently, there's a housing crisis. It's welcome news for... Oh, I just... You there, Christopher? Have I got you? Hello. Christopher. Yo, Chris.
Hi.
Hello, you want to buy a tiny house?
Yeah. There's an echo. There's a lot of confusion going on here. I can hear you in the background. I got my speakers down.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Are we good on air? I hope so.
That sounds great to me.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine, have you ever even built a garage this small? 16 by 8 foot garage? Never.
My garage is a little bit bigger, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, 8 feet wide would obviously wouldn't even work for a garage.
No.
16 feet would work for a garage. I mean,
well,
if you want
not,
a small
I just bought a big old, what do you call them things? What's it? What? Oh, a Mercury Grand Marquis. And I don't think I'm closing the garage door at 16 feet.
No. Well, you won't.
I don't think I opened the doors. We wouldn't be able to open both doors. But this here, 16 by 8 feet. Now, you picture yourself in a 16 by 8 feet place that features a kitchen and living area, a bathroom with a composting toilet. I mean,
well,
it's welcome.
How high
just let
is
me
it?
Just let me finish this for 1 second. It says it's welcome news for Big River First Nation Housing Coordinator Leo Jack, who said there simply aren't enough homes for all the community's 3,300 members. Some of the houses are in disrepair and have toxic mold, Jack said. So yeah, so Paul Martin's all part of this Idle No More crap, and so now we're going to put people into houses that are 16 by 8 feet. That's abuse. That's what that is. It's like, do we not got a tree left in this country?
There's a. Well, I got, you know, if it's a three story, you might stand half a chance of living kind of like a normal person would. But then you've got to take up space to build the stairs to get up to the second story and take up space to get to the third story.
Yeah, and the stairwell up to the second floor is 8 feet. So, you know, you ain't getting nowhere quick here. No, yeah. This is total abuse.
I got to tell you, Ron, when we were talking off air, we were talking about this subject, I do believe. About a man in Los Angeles, I believe, mustered up $150,000 to build tiny homes for homeless people because they were living in tents. And, you know, I got to say, kudos to him, because he had doors that would lock and windows that would lock. They were insulated. And it was better than living in a freaking tent, you know? Now, is he promoting the agenda, or is he just trying to help homeless people?
I don't know about that. You know, if he's trying to help homeless people, kudos. But whether he's trying to help homeless people or not, whether, you know, he's at least, at the very least, inadvertently promoting this nonsense. And the question is, why are these people homeless? Not the fact they are homeless. They always do the same thing. They run these people out, then they turn around and they say they're there to help. And that's what really irritates me the most. You know, we've run you out of your houses, and we've run you out of your jobs. And but we love you, and therefore we're really here to help you, when they're not here to help you at all. They're there to move an agenda. What's not sustainable? Private property. What's not sustainable? Private automobiles. That's just the way it is. And you know, we I mean, you take England fits into or Great Britain fits in Ontario four times with tons of room left over. That would be a population 240 million people. We have 13 million people living in this province. We've got more water, more trees, more ore than bloody well anywhere. And now you're trying to say you're stuffing people into. I mean, this isn't a mini home; it's a freaking frame trailer. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and they're promoting this stuff as actual houses. They're not houses.
Well, if I go any bigger than a 10 by 10 shed in my backyard, my
Yeah, you need a
taxes
permit.
rise.
You need a permit, right?
No, I don't need a permit, but my taxes will rise accordingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they'll come in and assess my property tax and say, oh, you're bigger than 10 foot by 10 foot. Therefore, there's another $1,000 a year you got to pay in taxes or whatever it is, whatever their percentage is. Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. If you didn't have a garage on your home and you decided to go down to wherever, the stone yard or wherever, and you found a whole pile of old pallets, and you thought, geez, I got a good idea. I'll take them home and I'll build myself a garage out of pallets. I'll guarantee you ain't getting a building permit for it. It ain't gonna happen. Because for you to build a garage, you need joists in that garage and studs. And what are you gonna do? Nail a bunch of pallets together to make a stud? You know, here in this town, you need a joist of minimum 2 by 8. To go across. How are you going to get a 2 by 8 joist out of a bunch of used pallets? You ain't getting a permit to build it. Yet these clowns here, because it's the government pushing the agenda, you can build a tiny house out of used pallets. What are tiny homes? It asks. This is the mini builder in Manitoba. The tiny house movement, tiny living. Simply put, it is a social movement where people are downsizing the space that they live in. The typical Canadian home is around 2,600 square feet, while the typical small or tiny house is around 100 to 400 square feet. Tiny houses come in all shapes, sizes, and forms, but they focus on smaller spaces and simplified living. People are joining the movement for many reasons, but the most popular reasons are because of environmental concerns, financial concerns, and seeking more time and freedom. For most Canadians, one third to one half of their income is dedicated to the roof over their heads. This translates to 15 years of working over your lifetime just to pay for it, and because of it, 76% of Canadians are living paycheck to paycheck. So, what is the alternative? One might be to live smaller. While we don't think tiny homes are for everyone, there are lessons to be learned and applied to escape the cycle of debt where almost 70% of Canadians are trapped in right now. So this is this, you know, like the whole idea of Agenda 21 and the globalist UN corporate agenda is to drive you into poverty. Because if they drive you into poverty, then they can pretty much do as they want with you, which is exactly what they're doing. They're driving the population into poverty through high debt loads. And, you know, I can just see this family. You know, dear, I was just looking about it. You know, our house is about 2,600 square feet. Well, that's not true. The average home in Canada is not 2,600 square feet. How big's your house, Chris?
About 14.
Yeah, and you got a basement in it, right?
Yeah, they don't count that.
Well, they have to be counting it here because your house is the average size house. The average size house is about 1,400 square feet.
Yeah.
So they're adding in the basement, which you don't. But see, they're changing the word, they're changing the whole terminology. The lawyers are and their experts are. I was at a house. And I asked the guy, I said, it's built on a slab in floor heat. And I said, how big is this place? And he says, 1,650 square feet or something. I said, what are you, nuts? You'd be lucky to suck 1,200 out of this. Where the hell are you getting 1,650 square feet? Well, the garage, there's a garage. That's not living space, it's for the car. How the hell are you calling that living space? And I said, okay, so you got 300 feet there, maybe. It's a tiny little garage. So where's the rest of this footage? Well, out here. And we go out the patio door out the back of the kitchen. I said, we're outside. Well, yeah, but the gable roof extends over this concrete patio pad. So it's considered living space. So I guess you could have a tiny house of 200 square feet, but really have, 12,000 square feet if there's a field out your back door. I mean, this is ludicrous. But anyways, all they're doing is guy sitting in the house. He's, geez, Hunter, our house is 2,600 square feet. We're spending 15 years paying for this damn thing, and most people never get it paid off, let alone in 15 years, because there's always somebody there from the finance industry. You know, you almost got your place paid off. You should upgrade it or put on another garage or do this or that. Here's some easy money. And so people use their equity so they don't get out in 15 years. They're in debt forever. But anyways, he says, okay, we got a 2,600 square foot house, and I just saw mini homes of Manitoba. They can build us a house, honey, of between 100 and 400 square feet. What do you think? What do you think, darling? I think you need to see a doctor because you've lost your mind.
Yeah, and yet I want to build a shed in my backyard bigger than 10 by 10, which is a shed for my tools and equipment. And yeah, and then it goes back to, I got to pay more taxes for that because it's, bigger than 10 by 10. But yet they're talking about building houses, tiny houses, that same side that I throw my snowblower in.
Yeah. And,
yeah, I don't.
I mean, anybody that's ever watched the Trailer Park Boys always laugh when Bubbles, who lives in a garden shed, which is, I don't know, 10 by 10, 10 by 12, which is the low end on these mini homes building by the mini home company out of Manitoba. And it was always a joke that Bubbles lives in a garden shed. How can anybody live in a garden shed? And he says, oh, it's really good. I got my TV and I got my cat and I got everything in here I need. And now they want us to live in garden sheds. But the kicker is here, their mini homes start at 30 grand. Well, their mini home here is 100 square feet. So that's $300 per square foot. That's really high end. Okay, $200 a square foot, you can buy build a regular house. But if you build a mini home, you're going to pay a premium on it of about $100 a foot because it ain't going to be high end. Because you got nowhere to put nothing. So, they're selling them off. So at that price, $3,000, you're looking at a 400 square foot house. You're looking at what? At the three, you're looking at 100, you're looking at 120 grand, according to their numbers on the low end. So drop it down to 100 grand. Who in the hell is going to spend 100 grand on a 400 square foot anything? That's what is 400 square feet? Is that a double garage even? I still got you, Chris?
Oh, you asking me a question?
Yeah, a double garage. Is that a double garage is typically more than 400 square feet, is it not?
Yeah, it's typically about double plus, yeah.
So you're getting you're getting a very little house.
My garage that I have, which is attached, unfortunately, so it's considered living space. It's 14 by 24. Give or take a foot or two.
14 by 24, and the other one was the other little house they built there was 16 by 8.
I win.
Now, no, but I mean, you look at your garage, which, what did you say it was, 14 by 20?
24, give or
okay,
take.
So
26, I think.
Anyways. It's not really a double garage, it's a garage and a half, right?
Well, no. Mine's a single garage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's your single garage, and you win. Now, would you?
Well,
I win because
I got a bigger garage than, well, most people will have as a home shortly.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Now, would you find it a comfortable? You're 14 by 20. Would you find that a comfortable space to have your bathroom and your laundry room and your kitchen and your living room and your bedroom in?
Well, I just got to grab some ladders and some ropes, and I could make do, I guess.
Yeah, I know, but
no,
I mean,
I would find that rather ridiculously stupid.
Well,
to have
yeah,
to live in them conditions every day, all day, for the rest of my life.
Yeah, according to the UN, and that's what they want to do. They considered that 350 square feet, and there's that word adequate again, is more than adequate for each person. And now that's okay if you're a person, which is a piece of paper. I guess 350 square feet is lots to store some paper in. But for a living, breathing man or woman, that don't cut it. But so we've read the documents years ago. So you own a 1,400 square foot house, and there's two of you living in it. And the UN says that's not sustainable. Sustainable is 300 to 350 square feet per person, and therefore for two people, 700 square feet would be more than adequate. And here's what's coming at you, folks, and I guarantee it. As this higher density housing continues to take hold, as the immigrants continue to flood in, and the fact that you can't build outside the development zones, the day is coming where you will be forced to split your home in two or pay an incredible tax fee for not being sustainable. That's what's coming. Because even if you have a big house now, they're going to turn it into a tiny house. Because they're going to tax your ass to the point where you have no choice if you want to hang on to your home. They're going to split it up into pieces to charge rent on it, so that you can actually pay the tax load that's coming at you. Because if you have more square footage than they deem to be sustainable, then obviously you've become not sustainable. Therefore, you have become a criminal. Therefore, you have become a blight upon the landscape. You have become a threat to the environment. And they're going to come after your ass. I don't know. I suppose we can all just sit back and wait for that eventuality, which is already written down, and they always write down what their plans are, and that is one of their plans. Or we stand up now and tell them to shove it where the sun don't shine.
Well, I
better start doing it, because this stuff should never have got a grip. I mean, this should be laughable. This should not be promoted as a positive thing. This idea that you want to house people in houses that are 100 to 400 square feet should be laughable. No company should ever get off the ground trying to build 100 to 400 square foot houses. But yet it's promoted in the media as this great option to the debt loads and the expense of owning a home. And we'll put wheels on it, so if earth hiccups, you can always move somewhere else. So they're not tiny homes. They're part of the psychological war.
But Ron,
what
you got to understand, like I, you know, we're obviously on the same page. Anybody that knows us, we both agree to disagree sometimes, but we're on the same page here. to do that for homeless people, I feel is a step up from what is going
that's
on
not
now.
That, but that's
because
not
the government
what I'm talking
is not
about,
protecting.
Chris. If this
they're protecting
gentleman...
refugees, fine and dandy, but they're not protecting our indigenous homeless men and women. And when somebody steps up and says, here's something better than a tent, I agree with that. That I feel, because that's the way you're supposed to speak now, feel, not think. that is good.
Chris, it doesn't address the problem. And the question is not, you know, it's not that these people are homeless. The question is, why are they homeless? And if they're supposed to be members of the nation, then it's not up to a man with some money who wants to put it forward to house these people. Where is the so-called administration in this case? It has failed. It has not only failed, it is doing the business of the UN globalist corporations, which is destroying the jobs and destroying the homes and destroying people's lives. That's the problem. That's the problem that has to be addressed. Now, if this one gentleman had a bit of money or raised a bit of money and got a few little homes and that for people to live in, power to him, as long as he's on up and up. Right? But regardless if he's on the up and up or a player, the media picks it up and then that promotes tiny homes. No one should live in anything that is 400 square feet. Nobody. If I tried to put an animal in 400 square feet, I'd probably get taken to court for animal abuse.
Well, we could beg the argument that the Eskimos do it.
Do what?
They live in 400 square feet.
Oh, that's igloos. Propaganda. Have you ever seen a real igloo? They're approximately 4,000 square
once.
Feet, and they party all winter. Anyways, I love this, Chris. Anyways, I'm not doing a show on this Sunday. That's Christmas Day, somebody's day. I won't be doing a show there. I'm not even so sure I'm going to do the show Saturday night, which is Christmas Eve. I may do that show, but I'm definitely not doing the one Sunday because I won't be here. I have to go to my mom's. But the following Sunday, we're going to have, I think it's, what's the name? Tony, I believe, from England. And some of his guys on from England. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to that show. Because they're so far ahead of us in being shoved down onto the ground. And they're going to talk about how they're trying to raise themselves up and get the boot of tyranny off of them. And we need to listen to these guys. Because what happens there happens here. We're just a little later. And it's all hell's breaking loose over there. And the people have had enough. Enough is enough. And they're starting to push back. So I'm really looking forward to the show this following Sunday. Anyways, Christopher, how is my mic now? Is it any better at all?
Well, you're not getting the static. And your volume's up a bit, so yeah.
I feel kind of a pinch spot here, just where my mic goes into the headset here. So I think I'm gonna have to go find that fat guy. I gotta go build a chimney, is what I gotta do, because he can't even bring me in.
There you go.
Anyways, everybody, have a great night. Things will get better.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from hell. Making money, they don't care. Season shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they mass on cocaine. They burn the kids, no more things come. Trees, lie to your face.
You are listening to UCY.